Jones.
What?
I just
check
don't.
That out.
Yeah, I just don't know. But do you know where he is?
No, he was going to be going cross country. I think I'm not sure. He was on a missionary thing or something. I wasn't really sure of the whole thing. I'm just the secretary in the office.
Well, he just, as far as I know, he just walked out and left everything here. And I have nothing to make out an income tax return with him for.
I see. So you just had, like, last month's bills or something.
I have his February is all I have. I don't have March. When I called to try to get him, the girl didn't know anything about the things there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at a loss to do anything.
Oh, be darned. Well, I think we're just kind of, you know, piecing it together to get the necessary business taken care of him for him, because we've been his attorneys off and on through the years. So
mm-hmm.
I think that we can probably take care of it through some, he keeps in contact with us occasionally.
Okay.
So. If there's anything we can do to help you, though, you know.
I mean, I just can't do anything without facts and figures, and I don't have them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
First of all, of course, my name is Albert, which is not a secret.
Okay.
And the only guy who ever made me a doctor, I accepted it, although I declared in public it never happened. But I had to accept it because he said, never mind, he was making me one then. But that was Jim. Now, I never was a doctor.
Oh, really? Well,
no, and I never got a doctor's degree when I was in Dartmouth.
Well, you should have.
Well, I was damn lucky to graduate.
Well, you certainly are a doctor,
well,
as far as I'm concerned.
Listen, I couldn't even stop myself from getting a... I had some sort of a stroke last Friday night, and I was not supposed to come to that meeting, you know.
I know, I just...
Maybe it wasn't. It was sort of, you know, it wasn't too serious.
I know, but you must take care of yourself.
On the very slight, and they call them TIA.
Yes.
Which, you know, a temporary ischemia attack.
That's right.
But I want you to know, so you can have the exact truth about me, I'm having a card printed, and I'm putting Albert E. Kahn, TIA on it. And everyone will think that I am a doctor or something, like a degree.
Well,
it's the only degree I've gotten, though.
Well, I certainly think you should, you know, an honorary degree should be bestowed upon you for all you've done for justice.
Well, I wanted to have a chat with you. You know, and let me begin by saying that I hope you will not think me presumptuous for calling you.
Not a bit.
Okay. Because... actually, if I had been in... it's very difficult, with all the pressures on you there, in the temple, with a meeting going on or anything, and all the things that have to be done, it's very difficult for us to do what I wanted to do, not then, but to come in especially to do.
Yes.
Which was really to sit down with you for half a day, or a couple of hours, whatever you could spare, and just sit and talk with you before I went abroad. And I feel very, really, really very upset about the fact that this hasn't been done by me. I'm not speaking now just about Jim. I'm speaking also about you. We've only met, actually, in our lives a half a dozen or a dozen times. And, certain things in life have come to mean a great deal to me, and
yes.
You and he are among them. And it was my duty to be in there and to have a chance to sit and chat with you, just, you know, alone and in a relaxed fashion, doing what, having a cup of tea or whatever you wanted
yeah,
to have. You know,
I know well the feeling.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I know, and I keep thinking, you know, surely that will be heaven.
Well,
and we are able to, all of us, sit down and have so much in common in the way of our beliefs and what we think is important to live for and to die for.
Well, I would have been in there if it hadn't been for the fact that during the last couple of weeks, I really have been going kind of crazy. With that delegation coming, I was not meant to do anything about it. I wasn't meant to be my responsibility to work on it. Irma did a marvelous job, but all sorts of things fell into my lap.
Yes.
And of course, if it hadn't been for Dick and for your whole group, the whole thing which turned out to be so successful, the whole thing would have turned out to be not successful at all. And at the same time, I've been trying to finish up on two books, and it's been a very hectic period here, so I simply failed, and I don't excuse myself.
Please know well that I understand.
All right, then I won't go on apologizing.
No, I understand it perfectly, because I know Jim has had the same feeling, that we're so busy trying to bring justice in a system that is constantly, we're always on the defensive for justice. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
And there's not time to do these things that are really very important and would be the thing that would give us strength to go on, and that's to sit down with people like you and talk and share what we have. But I know there's just not the time, and we understand it perfectly.
Well, I'm going to find and follow you around until you stop somewhere sometime for a moment, and we'll make the time when I come back. But before I go, and even though with someone that I feel about as I feel about you, even though I dislike talking on the phone, but I must, it's all the difference than sitting face to face with someone.
Yes.
Nevertheless, I wanted to have a little chat with you if you can spare 5 or 10 minutes right now.
Yes.
Can you?
Certainly.
Okay. First of all, I wanted to say, I have at no point had any discussion at all with you, or with Michael, or with anyone. My mind is still like it was kicked by a horse. It's very funny, the effect of that thing.
Yeah, I know.
Fogs out names. But, with any of your close colleagues, I just haven't sat down and talked. And, secondly, I have no questions, really, to ask on this score. If we were sitting and talking, this thing might be entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that Jim, part of this is entirely my belief, overworked in some way terribly,
yes.
Which he always has been doing.
Very much overworked.
Had perhaps happened to him, I don't know. I have no idea about this. It's pure speculation. But once, about 10 years ago in Russia, and once right after the end of the McCarthy period, I had I collapsed from what was called exhaustion.
Yes.
I absolutely collapsed.
Yes.
I was incapable of doing a damn thing. I actually, I used to write 12, 13 hours a day when I was younger. I actually, for a period, could not write one paragraph, and I couldn't even read a paragraph. And I went through a period, I'm not making any comparisons, I'm just saying,
yes.
I know what can happen to you from exhaustion.
Yes.
They put me in a rest home in the Soviet Union. And I went through a period when I came back, and that was after the McCarthy thing, and I'd finally gotten my passport. I went through a period when it was like, during the whole fight, somehow or other, the fight was something I was in and part of, and I even relished part of it. I wanted to fight.
Yes.
There's nothing I wanted more. When it was over at a certain point, it was like shell shock. Now, with Paul Robeson, he was terribly hard hit. We were both hit at the same time, and we both, Dr. Du Bois, he was the hardest son of a gun you ever saw. He just lasted. Nothing seemed to faze him.
Yeah.
I think he was too old and too wise.
Uh-huh.
But I got in a situation that three times this has happened to me. Once I had paralysis. Once I had this physical thing where I just sat. And once I had what I, in retrospect, call not economically, but in my own personal life, as my Great Depression.
Yes.
I didn't have any money to lose. I couldn't have a depression like they had in the 1930s. But I sure as hell was no good for a while. I just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And the only thing with me, now, and I'm just talking only about myself.
Uh-huh.
The only thing with me that did any good at all was rest. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's advice, except the love of my wife. As a matter of fact, I found it very difficult to be with people. Now, all I'm saying is that there's a certain amount that the body and the mind can take from the sort of work, however it hits them, from the sort of work that a guy like Jim has been doing.
I totally agree with that. And I don't know whether you know, he did collapse, you know, at the Housing Commission meeting.
No, I just heard, I didn't know what they meant. I heard that he was exhausted and had to stop working them. They didn't tell me he collapsed.
Yeah, he did. And he's not to the point, you know, that you describe. I mean, he seemed to, he was still functioning.
Right.
But,
Well, I was moving.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I was moving around and talking.
But actually, we just sort of, me and others around here, sort of took it in our own hands and put a lot of pressure on Jim to say, look, you're too vital to die.
That's the point.
And we know, I mean, I know him well enough to know that at this point, at least, he just can't be idle.
Right.
And so we suggested that he go over to Guyana and to the agricultural mission and maybe do some speaking to Caribbean, you know, and just change his environment.
Right.
So we urged him to get away and really, you know, pack his bags and so he wouldn't have to worry about our sons and so I wouldn't have to worry about them because they've been, you know, their lives have been under threat and duress also.
Right.
We just sent them along.
Damn good.
And I hope he'll stay away for 2 or 3 months. I don't know whether we're going to get that managed.
I tell you, you know, Jim has talked to me briefly or about me once in a while in such a way that I think he knows that, I have a feeling he knows, that even though I am not a good enough man to deserve the love of my wife, I am dedicated in my life to certain causes, and for 40 years since I began to get educated after I got out of college, that there's been nothing else in my life. Now, I am going to write, Jim, there is nothing, in my opinion, that is of more value to the world in which he is living here than that he take proper care of himself. It's very hard for a man. I mean, I know he will not think me presumptuous.
No, I don't think he will, and I would appreciate it if you would. I know he has great respect for you, and I know that he would take it from your past experiences. You know,
well,
that
I'm
you've
gonna
been...
Well, I'm going to tell him everything and anything, and I'm going to say I don't know what the situation is with him, and I'm going to say if sometime perhaps I can come down and spend a couple of days with him or anything, that's one thing. Another thing I'm going to tell him is that when I get to the Congress, I sure as hell I'm going to not only report to the Congress, but through the Congress, there are going to be, I don't know how many tens of millions of people around the world who are going to hear about his work.
Good.
Which they should know about. They'll be there from 100 countries.
That's beautiful.
And I'm going to do that. And one thing I forgot to say yesterday was when I was very disturbed at that one point when I was talking. I have to learn not to get disturbed, but I was very disturbed at one point, and I didn't finish the thought. And when I was talking about the cesspool that surrounds some of us and the terrible, the appalling, sickening attacks on people like yourselves, they disturb me very much. I wanted to say, too, that I do regard my pen as a weapon, and it does reach, it is translated in 25 or 30
yes.
languages.
Yes.
And I want him to know that my pen is his sword. I want to put it at his disposal in whatever way I can. In that other situation.
Yes.
I mean, in that slanderous, that wretched stuff. I'm talking about going into detail. I want to show what happens to a man, a woman, a family, a people whom you were, a big family that you've made. What happens to that family in this society when all it tries to do, the only thing it tries to do, is to make life happier for other human beings?
Yes.
And I'm just gonna talk and write about that on television and radio and so on and so forth in the socialist world and in the rest of the world. I'm gonna do it here too when I get the chance.
Good.
And I want him to know that. That's all. And I want him to know he can count on that. You know?
I'll certainly let him know that, and I know that'll make him feel very, very strong and very, very supported. Because
it's the least I can do for a man like that. You know. And by the way, it is rather silly to speak all the time of a man like that, because I've lived long enough to know that though when I travel in different parts of the world, I get such marvelous love and hospitality from people to whom I can give very little in terms of hospitality when the few of them that come to this land. They are the whole people, you know, take care of me and show me this love. And this to me is a great honor. And when I get that honor, I never forget, and I don't forget here or there, that it is not really me, just me by any means. And if it were not for my wife, I don't know where I would be. I said last night that I thought the most important thing in life was the ability to love and to be loved. Well, I will never know, and I don't say this I'm not trying to be I'm trying to say what I think.
Yes.
I do not know, and I never will know, to love in the way she loves, that's all. And it's true I know how to work. It's true I know how to get certain things done. And it is true I love man and woman throughout the world more than anything in the universe that I know.
Yes.
That's the core of my love.
Yes.
But you also have to know how to love your own family and people close to you and everyone. And Riette has something that I just know I don't have, that's all.
Yeah.
And it's very often, you know, and I don't know whether you'll agree with me, but I have long held to the view, ever since I read Shakespeare, or began reading Shakespeare, and never stopped. But I came to know, quite as a young man, and even before I got educated in terms of life, and politics, and economics, or anything like that, I came to know that women, at this point at least, in history and in society, up until now, have been superior to men. I know it because they know how to love more. I know it because they are more perceptive and more sensitive. I'm speaking generally now. I know it because they can bear children, and that in order to bear children, even in the lower portions of the animal kingdom, the female has to be tenderer and has to know more how to take care of other creatures.
Well, you know, I think that's true. I don't know whether it's...
Not always, but it's,
no,
but it's 90% of the time.
I think what happens is that by the very fact that they do bear the children, they're put in a position of having to care on a one-to-one relationship. You know what I'm saying? But this can also be...
In the capitalist world.
No, what?
What? Oh.
On the one-to-one...
Biologically.
Yeah. And they're put in a position where they must be responsible for the children, and...
Well, the children can't live otherwise.
That's exactly right.
If you take in the animal kingdom, the male does the hunting.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I think there has to be the two kinds of love, and I do know that for you, people like you and Jim, to be able to reach out to the world, sometimes you have to become detached from the pain of loving personally. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's probably true.
In order to accomplish what you must accomplish.
Well, you do have to sacrifice certain things, but I know I can only speak for my life, Marcy, and I have no right to speak for others.
Yes.
I have seen many great geniuses, and I've known a number, quite a few, who were really great geniuses. I mean, whether it is a Pablo Picasso or a Rocco Kenner or a Paul Robeson, and I have seen that they became great geniuses, and often, and they gave the world great beauty, and often, whether it was a musician or whatever it was, they were so obsessed with the creation of beauty or with what they their own work that sometimes, and I know in my life, and I'm not a genius, but I know in my life that I was so obsessed with my work, writing and working for peace or working against fascism when I was younger, all the time, and I knew, you see, I had the excuse of knowing how right what I was doing was, that I neglected my own son and my wife more than I should have.
Yes. Excuse me, is it possible that I can interrupt this car, call Mrs. Jones? There's an emergency.
Who is this for?
Yeah, it's for me, I guess, Dr. Carr. Sorry.
Mrs. Jones, I need...
Okay, because I've gotten several emergencies.
We're going to have Hector, if it's possible, be released to probation, come into our program. We do a lot of this type of work here.
You ever had anybody in a murder case?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
How many?
Oh, well, I don't know the exact number. I'm not sure it's that many, but what we would, the only thing we would do, would be able to do with Hector is to, and I don't even know if this is possible, but we would definitely want to send him to the agricultural mission in South America, where we have a farm on several thousand acres, and it's in the middle of a remote region of a jungle. And the chances for rehabilitation, you know, are the best there. In fact, we sent many problem cases, and for example,
what part of Latin America?
Guyana.
French?
No, it was British. It's now independent. And our success there has been tremendous. In fact, all the kids that we've sent have, well, they don't want to come back. There's been no recidivism yet.
Okay. In terms of whatever program you think you can offer Hector, it's gonna involve a PR job, not just in terms of Hector personally, but in terms of your program in general. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Say that again, please.
It's going to involve a PR job to convince the court that it's a sort of a legitimate as well as responsible and effective operation.
Right.
Which I have no questions about myself personally, but I can only make those representations from what I've heard and what I've read as opposed to any personal experience. So, as I suggested to Mrs. Carrasco, I would suggest that you write out, supported by some sort of, you know, whatever brochures, pamphlets, information, statistics you have, some sort of program, which is your proposal for what to do with Hector. And I can submit that to the court. I can't at this time give you any sort of indication of how I think it's going to go. I would imagine that since he's a youth authority parolee, the youth authority would also have to make the agreement to let him go. Okay, so the first hurdle would be the court, and the second hurdle would be the youth authority, which doesn't mean that they would require any additional information, but that putting the sort of the package together would be something that would be used to both.
Right.
Okay. And I just suggest that you write out sort of what you think would be appropriate for him, what you think you can offer, the successes that you've had with the project in Guyana before, and send that to me, and I will see what I can do with the judge.
Okay, so we'll send everything to you.
Yeah.
You'll take it from
there. And it may involve a court appearance at some point, but I will arrange that with you if that's in fact the case.
Okay, what sort of time element are we working with?
A couple of weeks.
Okay, so you need within a couple of weeks. Okay.
By the 29th.
I'll send it to you, Joanne Brown, and address.
I'll meet the County Public Defender's Office.
With some kind of payback.
Uh huh.
And the payback was to get this forum out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, of course, I hit the ceiling in the meeting. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, that's a lie. The forum was out before he got named to the commission.
Mm-hmm.
That's strictly a church venture.
Right.
It's not a political venture.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of thing that I'm, you know, getting, you know, and...
Well, how did they say it supports Moscone Forum?
Well, they're saying that, you know, Moscone appointed certain people, radicals and community folks, and, you know, Jim Jones was one of them. So I said, what do you mean, radical? And so they didn't have no answer, you know. And I told them I was very much aware of the fact that everybody who was trying to do anything as far as human needs was labeled as communists or they labeled as radicals.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I joined them to become a radical on behalf of all mankind.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But I thought I'd drop that in the thing because the pressure and things may be coming from folks who are indoctrinated as such, you know, I'm saying.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense, though.
No, it doesn't make sense, but I'm saying...
The paper didn't even, I don't even know it's mentioned Moscone.
Right, but I'm just saying this is what happened. They jumped on him, too. And I told him that, you know, I just told him, I don't understand where your head is and where your heart is.
Was this a church meeting?
No, baby, it wasn't a church meeting. It was a political meeting. And I stood up to defend those persons I know, and I told him I'm out there in the community and I'm working, and I know what goes down, you know. That all it represented was just plain ignorance.
Yeah.
About and a lack of involvement, because if you're involved, you know about these kind of things, you see.
Well, that's a crazy thing.
Yeah. But that's the kind of thing that we've been getting, you know.
Yeah.
It's really something, but I'm going to take care of them.
Is there anything else along those lines?
Huh?
Is there anything else?
No, that was the whole thing, you know. That was the gist of it, but the fact that Jim Jones came up, you know, and I said, he's in a whole different ball game. It's not a political thing. It's all in another ball game.
Yeah.
And I think the whole mystery of it is that, at least I know the mystery of it, is that when you, like I told you, you expect this.
Yeah.
If you understand the teachings of Christ, you can be anchored.
Yeah.
And what the wind, the blows, and everything else, that's gonna be very common to you. But you can stand it. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you're gonna get it.
We're getting it. We're getting it.
I'm sure.
We are getting it.
And it's most unfortunate, you know.
Yeah.
But this is what happens. And then I said, I raised the question yesterday, and I said, this is why good people to come forward, you know, because doing the packet, I just said, hell, man, look, you know what you all doing? You sitting up here not even knowing what the real issues are all about in our community, what the community is saying when they want supervisors from areas. And I said, I'm not sure that's going to be the answer to our problem, because I do know a couple of things will happen.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to see it happen again. But this is what happened with EOC and Mall Cities and all the rest of them, is that they bought off black folks.
Yeah.
And the voice and everything else was bought off. You see, and we got to raise up a whole new generation who can say, no, we don't want the money.
That's right.
We don't want the money.
That's right.
We don't want the money. You can have your money. You can't buy me. You see. And in that way, you can build a power block. But if you don't have that kind of thing going for you, then you ain't got. Now, what is happening at people's temple? Now, I don't know what goes all on in people's temple. You see what I'm saying? I'm on outside of looking in.
Yeah.
But I tell you, like I told Jim, I said, Jim, I don't know what you're doing to the people, but they are there. Some people saying you're ripping them off.
Mm-hmm.
I said, some are saying that you cater to the poor and you are taking the property and everything else. I said, I've heard a whole lot of lies. And I said, even during the Martin Luther King thing, I had people call me up and say, what about you with this Jim Jones thing? I said, hold it, wait a minute. This whole thing with Jim Jones, I said, people are giving Jim Jones money is because we as a church fail to meet their needs, and they give it to the institution that will meet their needs.
That's what's at.
That's where it's at. And I said, and all I'm saying to you then, instead of fighting it, you ought to join them, you see. And you either do the same thing or shut up. And I said, when I feel like I know some blacks in this city that have had property and a lot of wealth too, and it's gone back to the state. And I said, if the church was on this J-O-B, you could have gotten to those people and said, we will build a monument for you if you support a program that will train young people to service. I mean, see, these are the kind of things I'm saying that has to be, there are some human needs to be taken care of. It'd be nice to know that I left a memorial in order for this to be continued.
We have to keep the resources within the church
so
that we can guarantee that every senior citizen does have a comfortable place.
Well, see, I'm worried about that. You see, I'm seeing, like, as things go on right now, this is what I was saying this week yesterday. The property has gone up $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 out here in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, when they reassess the value of property, that means we're going to pay more taxes.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about 20 years from now, I'd be a senior citizen.
Yeah.
What can I live off? I mean, will I be able to support the system? Where will I be? Where's my security?
Yeah.
I don't have any.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee for me.
Right.
You ought to deal with my guarantees when I have worked and built a system. I ought to be able to make some withdrawals for that system.
Absolutely.
When I get to the point.
Absolutely.
I can no longer make the